Brolin, so much happening in Israel. We are going to talk about a whole bunch of things. We are also going to talk about something that's going to make me particularly uncomfortable at the end. We're going to be talking about Seth and Nick. And I was thinking, Brolin, maybe actually I need to have a separate session with you at some point for 10 minutes where we just discuss this issue completely separately. We touch on it today, but we go into it in some depth because I have a sense that something foreboding is happening out in the world vis-a-vis American Jews and Israel. But we leave that for later.
We just want to welcome a very important visitor that arrived like literally half an hour ago. The world's largest plane, an Antonov 225, just arrived in Israel to a lot of fanfare, i.e. anybody who flouted social distancing laws to go and film it coming in. But coming in from the U.S., carrying U.S. Army trucks that will be fitted with Iron Dome parts for use by the U.S. military, and that'll all be flown back to the States. But again, evidence of the very strong relationship between Israel and the U.S., and for all aviation fans, an opportunity to see this giant birdie coming into land at Ben Gurion. And I think these days, or at least until the 16th of August, any planes that come into great fanfare. But to have an Antonov 225, if you have seen it is quite a sight. It's a massive, massive, massive plane.
Quite a worrying picture on the front of the Times of Israel this afternoon. Infiltrators trying to cross in from Syria and lay explosives.
Well, let's just give it up for the IDF, who have been on high alert in the north, because we are still anticipating something that could happen with Lebanon. But we also know the threats that are on the northern border. But just to put you guys into some perspective, some drama happening on the southern border as well last night with rockets fired from the Gaza Strip into Israel, intercepted by the Iron Dome. Residents of the south reported hearing booms, but those could have been the interceptors from the Iron Dome. Nevertheless, Tzev Adom ran out through these small communities, sending hundreds of thousands of Israelis in the south into their bomb shelters, and the IDF responded by targeting, and in this case they said underground Hamas targets. So wherever you are, we will reach you if you plan to attack Israel in any way. And the same goes for the group of four that came through the border and tried to lay an IED. This is in the southern Golan by the border between Syria and Israel, and they were spotted and summarily neutralized. Yeah. We haven't had any claim from any group who is responsible for this, but no IDF troops were injured in this. But again, and I'm going to echo the defense minister just a little bit earlier, he said, you know, anybody who thinks they want to come in and has another thing coming. Well, actually, he said, if I'm quoting verbatim, only a foolish enemy will dare to test Israel's preparedness to respond. Let there be no misunderstandings. Troops have all measures required to defend residents and hit anyone who attempts to infringe upon Israeli sovereignty. So those are strong words from the former Ramatkal / alternate prime minister / defense minister.
What's the reason given for the unrest on the Gaza border right now? I mean, nothing's particularly happened there to cause that, has there?
Well, nothing's happened. You know, all talks of any application of sovereignty or annexation, those talks have died down. But I think it's Hamas trying to be opportunistic, thinking that perhaps with all the issues that we are having at the moment with protests, with coronavirus, that our attention is turned away from anything, you know, that they could want to get up to, you know, let it be known. Just as Defense Minister Gantz said, Israel reports a person, Raleigh Marx, is saying, don't try any nonsense, because RDF and our security services are wide awake and watching on all our borders.
Let's talk COVID. We haven't talked COVID for quite a while. Just a question for you. This COVID Tsar that they're calling him in Israel, I love that, a COVID Tsar. Ronnie Gamzu,
that is such a...
Exactly. Is he a South African with a name like that, Ronnie Gamzu? You think, how could he not
He's not a South African. He's a Sabra, but he's a recent appointee. He was greeted with a lot of fanfare by doctors, very happy that he's in charge. And he gave a press conference last night on Israeli TV saying that we're very close to having full control of the second wave. He also gave the Defense Ministry, the RDF, more free rein to participate in trying to combat the coronavirus. And this seems to be having some effect. So at the moment, even though we still have a high rate of infections, we are starting to come down. We are below, for the first time in a while, below the 1,000 infection rate per day line, which is very important. And then we're hearing very conflicting reports. John Hopkins Coronavirus Research Center, it's such a mouthful for me to say, they said just several days ago that we have one of the lowest mortality rates in the world. They say, in ratio to the size of the population, our mortality rate is very, very low. However, we heard from the Prime Minister earlier today saying that the mortality rate is one of the highest in the world. Now, it could be the Prime Minister wanting to, enforce the seriousness of the situation. But it's very interesting to see these conflicting reports. But having said that, we have kind of plateaued with our numbers, even though the numbers of serious patients is still high. We want to get those down. And a lot of decisions being mulled, or as far as restrictions are concerned, do we go into nightly lockdown? Do we go into weekend lockdown? Do we need to go into lockdown at all, given the situation of our economy, as many countries are facing economic hardships? So a lot being discussed, but Ronnie Gamzu, you say, the mechanisms of what we have to do to protect ourselves, coupled with better tracking, coupled with getting the RDF getting their incredible ability to track this more involved, could be the secret to us getting the upper hand.
Wow, interesting stuff. Okay. And then finally, for this afternoon, the subject that I was so reluctant to talk about, Seth Rogen and Nick Cannon. He apologized. He didn't apologize. He did. He didn't. I don't know. What's going on?
Well, let's first look at Nick Cannon. We spoke about Nick Cannon a couple of weeks ago and some of the comments he made. And what was very interesting is that he spent Tisha B'Av fasting and reading Barry Weiss's book on anti-Semitism. And, the difference with Nick Cannon here is he's really opened himself up to learning more, to understanding, and to working with the Jewish community. And quite a shocker towards the end of last week is rapper Ice Cube. Also, he was tweeting out some of the most horrific anti-Semitic invective. He had a conversation with Maud Klein of the Zionist Organization of America, who's known to be, quite right-leaning. And they seem to strike up some kind of a rapport, and Ice Cube also saying we need to look at ways to work together. And this is very, very important. We covered quite extensively last week the issue with Twitter, the walkout, and the successes there, and more successes today. Facebook and Instagram coming under fire with the Knesset, with their committee today, and Facebook announcing banning the French comedian Duoden. My apologies to French people everywhere for absolutely massacring the pronunciation of his name. But he has been banned for life. What is ironic is that TikTok declined to participate in the session, and TikTok are under a lot of scrutiny for their for being a purveyor of anti-Semitism, for allowing some of the most hideous anti-Semitic TikToks to take place. But the issue with Seth Rogen, did he apologize? Didn't he apologize? Well, last night, Isaac Herzog, he's the director of the Jewish Agency for Israel, he tweeted out that he had a conversation with Seth. Seth said, reiterated his support for Israel, said, he didn't intend for his comments to harm, and that he understood where we're coming from. But then he also walked back his apology, saying that his mom made him call. Now, we have to remember something very important. In the age of Corona, where movie theaters are not open at the moment, he has a movie to promote. Is he intentionally creating controversy? It's a very Jewish-themed movie. Does he really feel this way? It's an interesting one, and I look forward to delving with you into more detail a little later.
We are definitely going to do that. I'm going to have Senna call you. I really am going to pose the question to you, Rolene Marks. Is Israel losing the Jews? Because there is something happening, and I'd say this with a heavy heart, between the Justin Baynard articles, between the Seth Rogen comments, something is happening. And it's not something that I like to talk about, but I think we need to identify the problems so that we know how to deal with it.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very good and very, very important discussion that we need to have. And maybe we need to hear from the younger generation, what could we be doing differently or better?
So we will definitely be doing that. Rolene, as always, toda rabba, and we'll chat tomorrow. She's telling me she's doing it happily. Isn't that nice? Thanks, Rolene.
Tamid. God bless.